Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Well, glory to God. Good to be in the house of the Lord and good to be in your house. Hallelujah. Hey, that couch needs to be cleaned, man. That thing needs to be dusted or something. I can see inside y'all house. No, I'm just kidding. Some of y'all turned me off right then. All right. Let's get into the Word, man. Get into the Word. Let's go to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 13. I want to preach to you on the subject. My subject matter today is, what life are you waiting on? What life are you waiting on? Amen. I got my amen folks coming in this morning. Hallelujah. All right, I hear some of you. What life are you waiting for? In the book of John, chapter 13. Now, I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to read a couple of verses so that we can jump in here. But verse 2 says, during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Verses 10 and 11 says, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. And then verse 18. He said, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have bled and died for my salvation. And I thank you, and I am going to do my dead level best to live my best life, because it's my only life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What life are you waiting for? Our world is hurting today. And man, we have never experienced what we are going through presently. I mean, there is suffering, there is panic, there is paranoia, anxiety is at an all-time high, yet in the dark world of despair, there shines a bright star of hope from an empty tomb. His name is Jesus. It is Easter that can turn every hurt, every heartache, every trouble, every trial into a hallelujah, because we recognize whose we are and whom we serve. That I understand that Easter has the ability to turn every tear into a pearl, every midnight into a sunrise, every Calvary into a resurrection. So no matter where you may be at in your journey today, I want you to know that victory's coming, resurrection's coming. It may be dark and it may be gloomy, but today, as we celebrate Easter, I want you just to get up in your spirit and say, today is my resurrection. I'm tired of living in the grave clothes of yesterday. I'm tired of living on whatever has happened yesterday, and today's a new day in my life. Amen, amen, and amen. But let me ask you this question. What life are you waiting for? Do you ever get tired of making choices? Man, I get tired of making choices. You know, I mean, every day our lives are full of a myriad of choices. What am I going to wear today? How are you going to do your hair today? Some people don't have that option. You just got to use what you got with what you got to work with. How are you going to get dressed today? What am I going to wear? What am I going to do today? What needs to be done today? And what can wait for tomorrow? What are the things that I can assign other people to do? And what are the things that only I can do? Now, that's leadership right there. What are the things that only I can do? There are some things during these trying times that I can assign staff, but there are certain things that only I can do. And I've got to do those things that only I can do. You know, what am I going to eat today? Where am I going to eat today? Am I going to eat today? Because my wife loves for me to tell her what I want to eat. Because she loves cooking for me, but she loves for me to tell her what I want. And sometimes, don't tell her in case she's not watching, but sometimes I just throw something out just to make her happy because I know she wants to hear. But the reality is I make so many choices and so many decisions each day, I'm usually am at a loss when I get home, and I really don't care too much what I eat as long as I have something. But in order to make my wife happy, because happy wife means happy life. And so to make her happy, sometimes I will just tell her something that I want to eat. And sometimes she will catch me. She'll say, "Really?" I go, "No, I don't really care. But I know you're looking for something, so here's what I want." And she'll do it every time. But you have to ask. You got to ask yourself the question, more choices. What bills am I going to pay today? What bills can wait till next week? What bills can wait till next month? You have to make all of these decisions. The list is endless. I'm told, and I read somewhere, that Einstein had 7 suits, 7 shirts, and 7 pairs of pants, and 7 pairs of socks. And you know what they were? It was 7 black suits, 7 white shirts, 7 black ties, 7 black pairs of socks, and a pair of shoes. He said that he did not want to use his energy in making a decision on what he was going to wear, so he just wore the same thing every day. Sometimes I wish I could do that, but all you women know that you can't do that. I wore a pair of gray pants to the office the other day, and I was getting ready to wear them again the week after, and my wife said, "Hey, didn't you wear them already this week?" And I was like, "Well, no, I didn't, but I work with guys. They would never even know that I wore the same color pants the same twice in the same week. But you women, y'all do that. But you have to make those decisions. But every day that we live, we have to make a huge, humongous, greatest, biggest, most extravagant decision every day of our life. Well, what is that? We got to answer the question, whether intentionally or unintentionally, if we're going to follow Christ today. Am I going to follow his plan, or am I going to follow my own plan? Because he died so that you could follow your plan. You see, the scripture that we just read, Judas was faced with a choice. Now, those of you who don't know Bible, Judas was the man that betrayed Jesus and told the Sanhedrin where he was and who he was, and they came and arrested him, and it began this whole crucifixion weekend that we celebrate. It began that. But Judas was faced with a choice, and he has lifted up his heel against me, is what the word says, meaning that he was poised to kick but had not yet kicked Jesus. Now, Judas, here's what amazes me, that Judas was admitted to the same teaching that everybody else was, the same familiarity as the other 11 disciples, the same office as the other disciples, but his terrible love and of gold gained the upper hand on him and rendered vain all the means used for his conversion. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is it that is grabbing a hold of you, even though you may go to church, and even though you may listen to preaching, even though you might even have a study time or Bible reading time? What is it that you're not listening to God about? What is it that's grabbing a hold of you and veering you away from the things of God? Because here's the deal, man, we all have a choice. We all have a choice. Well, Pastor, maybe you've never done this, but I said sometimes I wish I didn't have a choice, but we do. We all have a choice. But Pastor, how, if God is so powerful, can't he just eradicate evil? No, let me explain it to you. How can evil exist? If God made all things, then God is responsible for you. And you may even say he's responsible for evil. However, he's the author of all things. But check this out. Here's where it gets a little complicated. Because God created perfection. And sin is a perversion of that perfection. He created everything perfect. Well, Pastor, why is my life a wreck? Because God created you perfect. However, sin got there and sin perverted you in some way or another. Sin, not maybe not your sin, but sin of the world. No, you didn't ask to be born into a family of abuse, but it happened. You didn't ask for your mama or your daddy to be a drug addict or an alcoholic or a woman abuser or a man abuser or whatever the case may be, but yet it happened. Why? Because it's life. God created perfection, but sin is a perversion of that perfection. God made everything perfect. However, here it comes. God made creatures perfectly free. And that's the problem. He made you and me free. He made you and I free. Yeah. And free will then is the cause of evil. If I didn't have a free will, then there would be no evil because I couldn't do anything but what God told me to do, right? But that's not the kind of love that God has. Now check this out. Imperfection can rise from perfection indirectly because of freedom. Because of freedom, you give people freedom and they're not always going to choose what is right. What makes us moral creatures and gives us humanity is freedom. It is the freedom to choose. It is the freedom to act. It is the freedom that causes us to be for the potential of evil to be there. Forced love is not love at all. Matter of fact, it's a contradiction in terms because in order to choose good, we have to have the ability to choose evil. Does that make sense to you? I mean, if we didn't have the ability to choose evil, then how do you know that you would choose good? So when you see somebody who is doing good, it's because they made a choice. They made a choice not to do evil. I make a choice not to cheat on my wife, plus she'll kill me. I make a choice not to treat my children bad. I make a choice to serve God. I make a choice to do what is right. It is my choice. It is my freedom. And because of that choice, that's what lets me know when people love Jesus, it's because of that choice. Listen, when we choose sin, we are the cause of the evil that we do. Whew. God did not do that. Sinful choice did. Some would say, though, but Pastor, if God is all powerful, he could stop evil. If God is all good, he would. He would stop it. But check this out now. You got to recognize that evil will never be destroyed until Satan is bound and threw into the furnace. God did not do it. Listen, evil is not destroyed. And some people go, well, if God couldn't do that, there must not be any God. No, God cannot destroy evil without destroying freedom. And I'd rather have freedom, man. I would rather have freedom. I want my children, I want my wife to love me because they choose to love me, not because they don't have a choice. And that's the same way with God. God wants you to serve him. God wants you to serve. He died. He paid the price and resurrected on Easter so that you would have a choice. You have a choice to serve him today or not. To destroy evil would be in itself evil because it would deprive you and me, God's creatures, the greatest good, which is the freedom to choose. The freedom of choice. Evil Evil might not be defeated, or evil might not be destroyed, but it is defeated. Jesus defeated him on the cross. You and I have the power to defeat the devil every time that we make a good choice to serve God, to do what God's called us to do. Now listen, the problem is everybody wants to talk about their circumstances, but don't talk to me about your circumstances unless we're going to talk to about your choices. I'm this way because of, wait a minute, what choice did you make? There, humanity, the world, your family, they can do a lot of things to you, but the one thing they can't take from you is your choice. I choose to be positive. I choose to worship God. I choose to be in the house of God. I choose to read my Bible. I choose to live right. I choose to do what the things that are conducive for God. Listen, church. Judas kissed the gate of heaven and went to hell because of a choice. I think about how many people, as I look around, and I know we don't normally do this, but Krista, I want you to take a scan of this sanctuary. It's empty. We got three people in the audience. So this place is normally full, especially on Easter. But as I look around at empty chairs, can I tell you that we would be full 6 or 7 times all over the people who have come to this church, gave their heart to Christ, and not went to another church. That happens because of choice. They like somebody, they feel better, whatever. I don't like it, but they do it. But if everybody that has come to this church made a choice to serve God and stayed with that choice, then the church would be running over 6-7 times because they made a choice to serve God, but then something like Judas got a hold of them and made them choose a different route, and they're not serving God today. Oh, you may think you're serving God, and I know a lot of you that go, I'm still a Christian. Oh, baby, listen, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. I'm not your judge. You're right. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know how in God's name that you can be a Christian and never darken the house of God, never get online, never do the things that God's called you to do. We've got to be better. We got to make better choices. What life are you waiting for? When the giver of life not only stood before Judas and taught him and ate with him and even slept in the same room with him, not how many of you are wasting your life because you're waiting for a life to come instead of grabbing a hold of the blood of Jesus and letting him cleanse your life and begin to live a life worthy of salvation, worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus made? How many people are wasting their lives away? Point number two is this. Sin started with a choice. In the Garden of Eden, it started with a choice. God made everything perfect. God gave everything perfect. But the one thing, he said, you may eat of every tree, but the tree of the good and evil you may not eat of. And Adam sinned. Sin started in the Garden of Eden. It started in the Garden of Disobedience. That's where it started, man. And Adam sinned in choosing to eat the fruit. Now, so many people blame Eve. But God told Adam, not Eve. Adam, he was just a little sissy man. I don't know. Don't write me nothing. But all I'm saying is he listened to his wife. When he should have been the man and go, no, baby, we're not eating that. God said, don't eat that. He just went, okay, that's what you fix for supper. I guess I'll eat it. No. He should have been a man and spoke up and go, no, God said that we're not going to eat this. And I believe, and I'm, you know, I'm no theologian, but I believe that if Adam had said no, the penalty would not have been there, and we wouldn't be in the condition that we're in. But it started in the Garden of Disobedience. He had everything that he needed to be happy, but allowed the serpent to slither in and affect his household. Can I tell you why? Because he was silent. He was silent. How many of you men today watching are being silent in your home? You need to stand up and take control. You and your spouse need to stand up. You're the spiritual leader. You're the husband. You're the house band. And you need to stand up and declare, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If my wife don't go to church with me, I'm going to go to church. If my wife don't serve God, I'm still going to serve God. I'm going to do what I know to do because God is holding me responsible for what I'm doing. Men, be men of God. Adam didn't have to eat the fruit after Eve, but he made a choice. What life are you waiting for? Redemption, though, started in the garden of obedience, but not without a struggle. See, again, it's choice. It's many times it's not a choice if you don't struggle with it. There are some things I don't have to struggle with. I don't have to struggle with whether I want broccoli or not. I don't want it. My struggle is obedience has a struggle. Redemption started in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the Garden of Obedience, but it was not without struggle. Jesus had a choice in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he said, Lord, if it be another way, let it be another way. But he continued to pray. And then he said, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. I've got to make a choice. I'm not going to do what's easy. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to do what's easy. I'm going to do what God has put me on this earth to do. See, he prayed until the sweat became as great drops of blood. And in the end, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Point number three, because of sin, there had to be an Easter. Because of sin, there had to be an Easter. Because we have a choice. We are able to sin. Because he lives and paid the price for our sin, we too can have life and have it more abundantly. Matthew 26, 28 says, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Acts 10, 43 says, to him all the prophets witness that through the name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Point number four, and I'm almost done. There were two gardens. Two different choices, both changed the world. Say it again, two gardens, two different choices, but both changed the world. Adam chose wrongly, changed the world. Jesus chose rightly and changed the world. Now my question to you is what, now the choice that you make can change your world. The choice that you make right now can change. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Make the choice to come to know him. Maybe you know him, but you're not where you need to be. Make the choice to get it right with him. Maybe you've been out of fellowship. Make the choice today. Sometimes we tune into Easter because of obligation. I don't believe it's just obligation. God brought you here to look at me on that screen and for me to tell you, make the right choice today. Choose Jesus. Choose to put him back in your life. Choose to allow him to come in and be the father of your life, to be the savior of your soul, to be the director of your life, and he will guide you in all righteousness. If I'm waiting for some other life to be courageous, then I'm kidding myself. This is the only life that you have. It's the only time in history when I get to fight for Jesus, fight for God. This is the only part of my eternal story that I am actually in the battle, man. Sometimes you're on the battlefield and other times you are the battle. Make the choice. Once I die, there will be no more choice. You can't go, oh, wish I had a V8. Wish I would have chose Jesus. You can't do it. After you die, there's no middle ground that you can go back and make things right. Do it today. Make this Easter an incredible Easter. Because once I die, there will be no more choice. Now, if I know him as Savior, I'll be in celebration mode. In a glorified body. A whole different set of circumstances. But if you don't know him, you're bound for hell, man. And I'm not talking about you just know of him. Like, you know what? Hey, I know of our president. I've been to his house twice. He ain't ever saw me yet. Doesn't know my name. Listen, but there are people here that I know. I hadn't been to some of their houses, but I know who they are. Can I tell you this? You need to know who Jesus is so that one day you can go to his house. He said, in my house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If you need to know him so that he will invite you into his house, and when you're there, you can live there for the rest of eternity. This is my limited window. This is my limited window of opportunity. And I'm going to fight the good fight with all that I'm worth. Christians, fight fear today. Fight fear. And we fight it regularly from time to time. It gets the best of us. And those who were once willing to do God's bidding, no matter what, no matter how risky, become even overly guarded and start playing things safe. Don't let it happen. This is your one and only life, in my opinion. In my opinion, ministry is risky. I risked it, man. Ministry is riskier than risk in any other field, including the business world, because most of the time, corporate leaders are only dealing with money. And despite appearances, the stakes are actually quite low where only money is involved. Obviously, you're losing a few thousand or a few million, which, you know, in the stock market, I don't know about that, but I matter of fact, I've got a little bit of money in my 403B, and I haven't even looked at it. I just won't even look at it right now. But what I'm talking about is even more important than that. It's still just money. Life is vastly more valuable than currency, because in real life, you're dealing with God's reputation and the eternal souls of people. This is the only life I get, my one and only shot at following God the way I feel him prompting me to do so. This isn't some pre-game warm-up. It's the game, man. And the clock is ticking. And we've got to do what we know to do while we can do it. Today there's a choice in front of you. Will you accept him as Lord and Savior? And if you already know him, will you now follow him and allow him to order your steps, order your attitude, and order your behavior? He died for you for the right to do that. If you don't know Jesus, I want to lead you this morning. May I lead you? It's 10 minutes till. They're going to start service over there without me if I don't get over there. And that's cool. But today there's a choice in front of you. Because see, listen, more than me starting on time over there, it is you coming to know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, or maybe you're out of fellowship with him, maybe you haven't talked with him in a long time, right there in your living room, don't be embarrassed. A few weeks ago, our first broadcast, we had a whole family that bowed their head and gave their heart to Christ. If you do that, let us know about it. But bow your heads with me and pray this prayer. And if you just say the words, it's just words. But if you believe in your heart, then it becomes life-changing, life-altering. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. But not only did you die for me, but you rose for me. And because of that resurrection, I now can become before you and give you thanks and give you praise. And I can ask you to come into my life right there where you're at. Ask him, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died on that cross for me. And I accept your sacrifice. I accept your blood over my sin that I might be in right standing with you. Today, I make the right choice. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're here, maybe you know Jesus, but man, you just haven't let him order your steps or your attitude or even your behavior right where you are. Come on, just invite him in. God, maybe I had a stinking attitude or a stinking behavior. Maybe I've had stinking thoughts or whatever. And God, I ask you to come in and just straighten it out. I'm making a choice today to get off the fence and get on the path. I'm making a choice to get out of the woods and get on the path. I'm making a choice to get off the broad is the way, but get narrow on the path so that you will lead me to that life-giving water in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I hope that you have and have had a wonderful Easter. If you gave your heart to God, or if you got things right today, would you write us and let us know? It would encourage us, me for sure, so much. God bless you. Happy Easter. He has risen. It is a time unprecedented in our lifetime, in my lifetime for sure. But he is still on the throne, and he has not relinquished his hold on this earth. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.